Welcome to Chirosphere, where we talk about all things chiropractic and some things, well, not so chiropractic. I'm Dr. Ray Foxworth, your host for Chirosphere and CEO of ChiroHealth USA, the network that works for chiropractic. Our guest today is the one and only, and I must say unforgettable, Dr. Mark Studen. Dr. Studen's been practicing chiropractic for 43 years and is an adjunct assistant professor of clinical sciences at the State University of New York at Buffalo, Jacobs School of Medicine and Biomedical Sciences, Family Medicine Department, Cleveland University, Kansas City, and adjunct professor of chiropractic at the University of Bridgeport School of Chiropractic. Dr. Studen teaches MRI, spine interpretation, triaging the injured, and a host of other courses. I've actually been on webinars with this guy that went 5 hours, so he's got a lot of stuff he can share with us. He also consults doctors internationally on increasing utilization in personal injury based on clinical excellence and compliance. He can be reached at drmark@academyofchiropractic.com. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, Ray, how are you?
I am wondrous. How about yourself?
It's sunny out. It's getting warmer. Life is good. I am just excited about what's happening in the chiropractic profession, and I want to start where I want to end. There's never been a better time in our history to be a chiropractor than right now.
I can't tell you how many times I've uttered those words over the last 38 years myself. It's always been the best time. Well, listen, I know a lot of people, you have quite a reach in the profession and outside the profession. So many may know what you do, but I'd like our listeners to know what's your why. What's the fire in your belly that still has you engaged at a high level after 43 years?
When I first got in practice back in the, I was in school in the 70s, I started in 81, December 81. I started adjusting patients and they started getting better, not just their pain. But I wanted to know why their asthma went away. I wanted to know why ulcers went away. I wanted to know why eczema's went away. And on my bucket list was always, right from my first week in practice when I started witnessing a lot of these things, I wanted to know from a scientific perspective why it works. I want it validated in the research lab. And I want to be able to shout it from the mountaintops. I want it to be on every TV channel. I want people to reach for us before they reach for drugs. Now, I'm not against drugs. I think they're wonderful. But I want it to reach for a drugless option first that works. And I want everyone to have, I'm working with doctors now, getting 140, 150 clients a month. And there's, if you're not acute, there's a 6-week wait to get in. Yeah. I want every practice to be like that because people are getting well. It's changing the world.
No doubt about it.
Sounds crazy, but that's the fire in my belly. And along the way, I come up with so much research and there's so much going out that bring me up to tangents that move towards that process because we should be primary spine care providers, the first portal of entry for spine.
We should absolutely see increased utilization of chiropractic across the board. So, you've been at this a long time as I have, and for years, chiropractic was always thought as the last resort for patients, but it turned out to be the one thing that worked. So how can doctors best explain to their patients and the public why a chiropractor should be the first choice provider, and is there really data to support that?
Well, let's take the first question, and what should chiropractors it's a multifaceted answer. It's what should they say, how do they prepare beforehand, and what's the study, what's the research, what's the references, what's digestible and believable for our referral sources, which includes the community at large. Now, what should chiropractors say? Here's your soundbite. Drugless first, drug second, surgery last. It's when you and I grew up in chiropractic school almost 4 decades ago. Drugless first, drug second, surgery last. That really solves the problem because there's no such thing as a risk-free drug. Even aspirin, as innocuous as it is, destroys the lining of the hyalocartilage of the bone and increases arthritis, which is what people take aspirin for. And I could go on and on and on.
Sure.
So drugless first, drug second, surgery last. Next question.
Yeah, I heard that a little different way. Chiropractic first, drug second, surgery last.
But chiropractic isn't always. There's no such thing as an always.
Yeah.
chiropractic isn't always everyone's first drugless solution. But when it comes to mechanical spine pain, it is.
No doubt.
Biomechanical spine, it is. It's the best first solution for pain. And it's also, it's being found out, the research isn't there yet. It is, by my experience of doing this for 4 decades, it's the best first solution for a lot of things like asthma and other things. But there's no research for that yet.
Got it.
Or at least not conclusive. Next question.
They call that anecdotal evidence in there. Like you said, there's a lot of us with years of experience that could tell the stories, no doubt.
Well, in best practice, which was created by Sackett out of Canada in 1993, I believe, there are three prongs to that. It's empirical, doctor's experience, patient's experience, and the research. So we've got 2 out of 3 of those. We don't have conclusive research for all the systemic issues just yet. We do have the research for the pain, but not for the systemic, and that's what I'm looking to do on all bones.
Yeah, well, it's coming, I have a feeling. So you shared a study with me that you were recently involved in putting together, and it showed that patients using chiropractic had like a 55% reduction in opioid use, a satisfaction rate of about 96%. And this one really caught my attention. A decrease in disability by 313% compared to those that went the PT route. So when you did this study, what are, in your mind, are the key findings? And it's good to have data, but if we can't take that data and put it into a story to be able to share with patients and other providers, how would you recommend we go about that without it feeling like we're bashing PTs or other professions?
Okay, so let's break this down into pieces. The first is let's talk about the study. And by the way, just this physical therapy, this isn't a referendum against physical therapy. I had my hip replaced 3 years ago. That physical therapist was my God. Taught me how to walk again. I had my shoulders from adjusting so much, both my shoulders operated on. Without my PT, that was central to my rehabilitation. And I'm not saying that chiropractic doesn't have the ability to do those things, but PTs can do it also, and they helped me, and it was great. But everyone's got its time and place, and who's the best first option? So we look at the literature. Now, I did not physically do the research because I felt that, I don't have the time, but I didn't want to be able to taint anything based upon my opinion. So I pulled research for what's out there and is an index peer review research. Based upon what's in the community. Whedon came out in 2018. I'm looking sideways at a different screen to get my research. Whedon came out in 2018 in an article in the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine. And what they found was, and the cohort, I believe, was approximately 5,000 and 11 patients, which is a cohort. For those who don't know what that means, the cohort is the number of people in the study. Now, in a research study, it often will have 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 people. That's considered a statistically valid cohort. This had over 5,000. And what Whedon found was opioid use decreased by 55% with chiropractic care across the board. What about in an older population, in an elderly population, a Medicare population? It decreased by 56%. Then what Whedon found is opioid prescriptions, or the writing of prescriptions, decreased by 54% for 365 days. And opioid prescription costs annually dropped 74% with chiropractic care. Now, if you look at the $1.2 trillion, and that's according to the Joint Financial Commission of the U.S. Congress in 2022, the United States spends $1.2 trillion on opioids. It's big business. Big Pharma is not going to like this message. By chiropractic care being the first provider, it will save our society $550 billion a year just in direct opioid costs. Now, I wrote an article with an addictionology specialist last year. And addictionology is a new subdiscipline in medicine because there's so many people addicted. And his comment in the article is posted. His comment was, if you could just get rid of the underlying pain, I can take people down from opioids. I'm not going to get them off their drugs, their hook, but I can put them on a less dangerous drug. That's the biggest one I could possibly find. So when we look at the opioid decrease, now we're going to look at what an article which just came out, and because I've been published so much, I get advanced notices of articles from Google Scholar. So here is an article that was accepted for publication in October of 2023, and it's from Physical Therapy. That's the name of the journal. Now, who were the authors? The authors were from the Extremity Trauma and Amputation Center of Excellence, from the Defense Health Agency of Falls Church, Virginia, a federal government agency, from the Naval Medical Center, San Diego, from the Uniformed Services, University of Health Science, and both federal government in Bethesda, Maryland, from the Henry O. Jackson Foundation of Advanced Military Medicine in Bethesda, another federal institution, from the Walnut National Military Center in Bethesda, from the Army Baylor Doctoral Program in Physical Therapy, and from University, from the School of Health and Rehabilitation Sciences, University of Pittsburgh, they have a physical therapy school. The school was written by predominantly doctors of physical therapy. There was a master's in there, and there was one chiropractor who teaches at the University of Pittsburgh. I know well, has a lot of integrity. What they found was opioid use in 90%, which actually 89.9%, opioid use in 90% of patients increased by 80% if two or more modalities were used. Now, what's the modality? A mobilization or manipulation. We don't manipulate. We have to stop using that term. Manipulation, by definition, is an arthrokinematic or orthokinematic maneuver, meaning gliding the facet through its normal plane. That's what the physical therapists do. What's another modality? Active care, physical activity, exercise, heat, needle therapy, including acupuncture, dry needling, therapeutic exercise, this is right from the research, neuromuscular reeducation, ultrasound, mechanical traction, or electrical stim. If any two of those, including manual therapy, are used, 90% of the people increase their opiates by an average of 80%. Now, if only manual therapy and nothing else is used, it doesn't drop, it doesn't raise it, but it doesn't drop it. But spinal injections with two modalities increase by 53%. And MD specialty care, including hospitalizations, which include surgeries, et cetera, increase by 50% if two or more modalities are used. That is alarming.
Yeah, so maybe you could clarify this. Are you saying that if someone goes the PT route, that there's an increased likelihood that they're going to be on opioids or go down that medical path? That's what it sounds like.
I am not saying any of that. According to the doctors of physical therapy, predominantly through Veterans Administration statistics, who have no personal axe to grind, they just want the vets to get better. What they found in their research, and I'm the reporter here, by the way, everything I'm sharing with you, the synopsis article that I wrote, and I'm just going to call it that, was published in the NIH last week. The National Institute of Health picked this up and it's published. What they found, what the physical therapy, it published in Physical Therapy Journal, which they found, not me, that opioid use goes up in almost in 90% of the 89.9, 90% of the patients, opioid use goes up by 80%. In 90% of the cases. That's the bottom line.
Well, let's pick this apart a little bit, because I too have had the shoulder surgery, knee stuff and all that, and I do appreciate what the PTs do. But do you think that number is as high as it is as a result of the modalities being utilized and it being done in the PT environment, or is it because people that are typically in PT are already in the medical model?
There's two reasons. And in the article, and hopefully, I know you're going to give your viewers and listeners the link to the article. Please read it. The reason a chiropractic spinal adjustment works is when you have a lesion, a biomechanical pathology. We've called it historically in our profession subluxation helpless. I don't really care what you call it. It's a biomechanical pathology. The joint's out of position. And with that being said, when you have this lesion, just like the addictionology doctor said, you've got to fix the underlying problem. Pain's still flying all over the place. However, when you're doing those physical therapy maneuvers, you're further increasing that biomechanical pathology leading to a negative or an escalating neurological cascade. When you do chiropractic and you do those other modalities also, you're strengthening the correction. You're supporting the correction. You're working with the patient in a correction model versus increasing the biomechanical pathology. There's your answer.
There you go. Well, if you would, everyone, hang tight for a few moments. We're going to take about a 30-second break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back with you shortly. Welcome back, everyone. We're going to rejoin the conversation with Dr. Mark Studen. As I said, he is the one and only and certainly unforgettable. If you haven't figured that out yet, stick along for the ride. So with the research that's out there, and we know that for many years, there was overprescription of opioids. And now even in where my practice was at the spine center, you are really seeing physicians starting to curve back on the prescription of opioids for a lot of different reasons. So why do you still think that so many of the very respected medical institutions continue to recommend less successful treatment protocols or pathways to help curb the opioid abuse? How do we get them to understand that there's a better way without all the side effects?
Your supposition as well-respected medical institutions still recommending less positive outcomes for their patients. The Mayo Clinic out of Rochester, Minnesota, with tentacles all over the country, still every little that man has physical therapy as the cornerstone of their care. It's antiquated. If you have to look at who are the players who can benefit from that, it starts to answer your question.
Are you saying follow the dollar?
It's always about the money. Big Pharma doesn't want this. They're making $1.2 trillion. And too many medical doctors own physical therapy centers. Well, here's where another piece of the puzzle comes in. And it says this is delineated. It came from the workers' comp site out of Canada. It was found out, Lancet, in 2017, in the Journal of Occupational Rehabilitation, had a cohort. By the way, I gave you the cohort of 5,000 and 5,511 before. I'm mistaken. That cohort was 4,800. Okay. Still huge. But Blanchett's cohort was 5,511. And Blanchett found that if chiropractic was the first provider versus physical therapy, there's a 313% decrease in secondary disability. If chiropractic was the first, again, in primary disability, there was a 239% decrease in disability. So the risk takers for the disability carriers still want chiropractic first. Unfortunately, on the workers' comp side, it's owned by government, and you have things like in my state in New York, Medical Society, State of New York, rules the roost. We still can't, in 2024, write a prescription or have a physical to refer to a physical therapist. Can't do that. Only the MDs can, or a nurse practitioner, or a physician's assistant with 18 months of education, which is absurd. And the reason being is they want to keep the money in the medical model. But it's always about the money.
You know, let me share something with you real quick there. When I started practice in 85 in Mississippi, this verbiage was actually in our law that was put in by the medical community. And again, I'm great friends with the medical community. But when our law passed in 74, I can remember it says, nothing in this act shall permit a chiropractor to be paid under workers' comp or personal injury.
Yeah. Well, they want to keep the money.
It's like the scope of practice. Not a damn thing.
Because it's always about the money. Organized medicine is designed to keep the money within organized medicine, even at the detriment of the patient. It's just the bottom line. However, there's a lot of really good medical doctors and osteopaths have a high level of integrity who put outcome studies first and their patients first, and that number is growing exponentially. Now, I can tell you that in 12 years of the statistics that I've kept, we can account, and I could say this, that the number is grossly underreported, but we can account for 1,875,000 patients being referred into chiropractic practices because doctors and even lawyers have now heard this message. And all of a sudden, it's exploded and it's working. But there's another piece of the puzzle. The other piece of the puzzle and part of the question is, how do we get them to listen? How do we get them to understand? Here's that. And again, it's got to be in sound bites. Because when you're dealing with a doctor who's off revisit, you would think that you could have 2 to 3 minutes of their attention before they white out or they're thinking of something else in their life. You don't have 2 to 3 minutes. You have 10 seconds, maybe 12 seconds if you're lucky. But here's another important piece of the puzzle. According to Nadatin, in 2020, 96% of patients were satisfied with chiropractic care, and including low back pain, 96%. And that was a 4-month study. And Ray, hold on to your socks. The cohort was 8,023,000 patients they studied. And I apologize, it was over 4 years. I just looked at my notes. It was a 4-year national study of 8,023,162 patients. 96% were satisfied. But when you look at non-specific back pain, which is what the majority of medical doctors diagnose, back pain, and what that means is no fracture, no tumor, no operable infection, no degeneration, and no systemic disease, they don't know what to do, so they throw drugs at it. And you cannot have a pharmacological solution for a mechanical problem. So therefore, in 97% of the time, they can't conclude a diagnosis, and they misname it as nonspecific, and there are tools which allow us to make very specific. And it's what you and I learned back in school, and me in the 70s, you in the 80s. It's called an x-ray. Guess what? You learned it in school. You already know how to do it. Anybody could do it. It's easy. And guess what? 96% of your patients are going to get better. Yeah. If you want to really break the barriers, we then went to medical academia and we allowed chiropractic, not allow, we created the pathway for chiropractors to get through debt credential in graduate medical academia through coursework in MRI spinal interpretation, triaging the injured, spinal biomechanical engineering, spinal ligament pathology. So now when you sit with a medical doctor and they say, where did you learn that? I'd have to say no longer through Life Chiropractic College or New York or Northeastern or National Chiropractic College or Cleveland University. I get to say through the State University of New York at Buffalo Jacobs School of Medicine. Now, does that go chiropractic down? No. Is it the exact same information I learned with my chiropractic education? Yeah, because you get the same CE credit in chiropractic as you do on the medical side. But I'm dealing with the prejudice that I have to break the walls down. And I don't care what I have to do as long as it's honest, ethical, within my scope, within the laws. I'm going to break those walls down to get the patients in. Now, once the patients are in, I can do whatever I want. But if they're not in my office, you know, if a tree falls and no one hears it, big deal.
No doubt.
Utilization. And that's what I'm about.
So, Mark, you and I have been at it for, like I said, myself, about 38 years, about 43 years for you. Where do you see our profession heading in the next, say, 5 years? And what do you think is our one biggest opportunity and our one biggest threat?
I'm going to say something that you know, because I was in politics for about 11 years and you've been in politics for 38 years. Did I say that right?
Off and on, yeah.
We are notorious for circling the wagons and shooting in. When I got my courses and everything in my fellowship program approved for chiropractic through the medical school, on the same day the approval came, and how these people know, I have no clue. There were people in the dean's office and the department's office screaming, how could you let a chiropractor do this? And they were other chiropractors. That's who was up there screaming. So the bottom line is that we need to get out of our own way. I mean, I'm going to say something which is not positive or popular in our industry with a fringe. And the fringe are the people who are heading our organizations. We don't need two national organizations. We need one organization with maybe two different philosophies or five different velocities where there's one message, one money funnel stream, not paying for two of everything because every dollar is precious politically. We need one organization, 50 chapters. That's called power. We already have the framework for that in COTSU, which I know that you're very well aware of, and that's not what this is about. But if we can have one message and one organization and not fighting each other, then all of a sudden we're going to start moving faster. That's number one. That's the biggest detriment. The biggest positive is now doctors have the opportunity to get advanced level education, real education, by the best chiropractic has to offer. There are people who teach who are incredible, who understand this, but also from the best medicine has to offer. The MRI is being taught by a Harvard-trained radiologist who's been published maybe 300 times. He's in it 4 years. By a double-boarded vascular neurologist from the Albert Einstein College of Medicine. By a musculoskeletal radiologist who teaches the fellowship program in medical academia on all extremities. I mean, I could go on and on and on. We have the best in the world as a team. We have someone teaching engineering who worked for Grumman Aerospace, who built the lunar module that landed on the moon in 1969. I mean, that's royalty in academia. So we have the opportunity not only to be taught by the best, because actually when you go to court, if you do personal injury, one of the things that the opposing side objects is, who is your professor? Some guy in a hotel on a weekend? No, it's a Harvard-trained neuroradiologist who specializes in brain. Oh, you're allowed. Because reputation drives referrals, perception drives reputation, and the reality of what you have creates perception, which will drive reputation, which will drive your referrals, which will bring the entire profession up. And I want the entire profession. Hey, I want chiropractic schools that are sprouting up all over the country. I have chiropractic students, because I teach in the classroom, who are being offered $130,000 a year in a school. Because there's a shortage of us. Because I take a little bit of credit for help creating that increased need and utilization. I want that to keep going up and up and up and up. Because we need it. So biggest upside.
So I'd like to share something with you, because I don't know if you're aware of it, as busy as you are, but for the last 4 years, there are a lot of people that have felt like there needed to be unity within our profession. And I've come to the conclusion, a little bit different one than some of my very, very close friends, that, you know, while it would be nice to a lot of people if ACA and ICA merged and there was one entity, the reality is we can have unity without uniformity. And that's kind of been a catchphrase for the chiropractic strategic plan that we've been involved in from the get-go, which came out of the Chiropractic Summit and the Cairo Congress meeting. And I can tell you with 100% certainty that while there may be differing thoughts from ICA perspective or ACA perspective, love the people for what they try to do for the profession, but the reality is the vast majority of the profession want to see some type of unity and an increased utilization in chiropractic. So this whole process with the strategic plan really kind of was born out of how do we increase utilization of chiropractic and bring some unity to the profession. And there are research groups, there are PR groups, there are governmental affairs groups. There's an army of volunteers that are working to bring about increased utilization and some unity in the profession. Because let's face it, ACA and ICA cannot do it on their own. Try as they might, only about 25 or 30% of the profession even belong to either association, and only about 50% belong to state associations. So we've got to have a kind of a gathering point, if you will, to move the profession forward and to help the organizations that are trying to move us forward, but not doing it the way we used to, like you said, which is, you know, circle the wagons and shoot to the inside.
Here's what doctors don't understand. And I went through this. I'm in New York, and we had two organizations. And I was the head of one of them for many years. And I helped create that second organization, because we found that there was corruption. The first organization, instead of fixing it, we created a new one. So we go to our street capital.
Sound like Baptist. You sound like us Baptists.
Yeah, really.
You never see a town that doesn't have a First Baptist Church. Why? Because somebody created a second one.
So I go up to a legislator, no different than the ACA and ICA in Washington, and we pitch bill number one as we want it this way. Then the other chiropractic organization comes in and pitches a different one. The legislators say, I can't make these guys happy. I'm not spending any time. And they take money from both sides.
Oh, absolutely.
But I'm not wasting time because they can't get their stuff together.
Yeah. No. I remember the story in our state when we were trying to get the law together, and it was two organizations, and the governor famously said, I'll summarize. Y'all get the hell out of here and get on the same page and don't come back until you do. Yeah. And finally, and everybody needs to understand, if you're passing legislation, it's a minimum of a 3-year process, because you got to pay the House and you got to pay the Senate and then you got to pay the governor. Right. And so
it's always about two things, right? Ego and money. The message, the article that I shared with you that I created was a research synopsis. I'm just going to call it that for clarity issues. Pulling in, I think there's 37 references, and everything is evidence-based. Listen, I teach in academia on the medical and chiropractic side in multiple institutions, both in the classroom and virtually. So I've come to the conclusion that my world can only be about the evidence and the literature. I don't put opinion in there. I can't. I can't afford opinion, because if someone would disagree with me, credibility is gone and the whole agenda crumbles. So there's a bit, and when I first started, there was a lot of opinion because there wasn't the research, but there's so much now. And, you know, I'd walk into a medical doctor, I walked into an internist oncologist's office and I shared with him these stats and he said to me, well, where's the research? Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Oh, are you interested in referring to chiropractic? I mean, at the end of the day, I'll think about it. I said, what's there to think about other than your prejudice? And he says, you have a very good point. I want my patients to get better. I walk into another office of family medicine in a city called Yonkers, New York, which is the immediate northern suburb of New York City. Yonkers is bigger than almost every city in the country in of itself. It is the largest primary care practice in the community, in the city. I went, I shared this information with him. He's now referring on average 25 patients a week to chiropractors, because the fourth most prevalent diagnosis is musculoskeletal in his practice. And he knows nothing. He knows nothing. 25 a week. All a chiropractor needs is 3 or 4 medical doctors to understand that. Now, all of a sudden, even one, you can't take any more new cases. You're done.
You know, Mark, that is something that early on in my career was important to me. I was a goal setter back then and still am. And one of my goals was to increase the respectability of chiropractic within the medical community. And fast forward over my years, I went from not even being able to get records from medical doctors and hospitals to being asked to be part of a spine center with 13 MDs. And it absolutely came from getting out there, having the conversation, letting them know what the research was, and not just sitting in my office griping and bitching and moaning about why don't they refer to us. You got to show up, speak up, and make it happen. It's incumbent upon us to go to them, because it's not their job to come to us. I think we have to own that, or otherwise we can't fix it.
You missed one critical piece of the puzzle, not just show up and not show. Be prepared.
Oh, first. Absolutely.
Just like a Boy Scout, be prepared. Now, it's funny you say that, because when I started back in the early 80s, I was invited to speak at a medical school. And I was all practice 4 or 5 years ago. I was introduced as, here's Mark's student, a voodoo quack charlatan. He's a nice fellow, but do you really want to expose yourself to that stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's how we've come a long way. So folks, be prepared. Get a little bit credentialed. I mean, if you want to learn where and how to do it, you know, give me a jingle. I'm happy to share it with you. Call me up. I'll talk to you for as long as you need, but be prepared, because if you're not prepared, you never get 2 chances at a first impression.
No, you do not.
And the old Cairo 1-step, 2-step is, you know, 10%, but profess the notes 100%. That, my folks, is the kiss of death, and you become a perennial one and done. They'll talk to you once, they'll refer you once, they'll be done with you for the rest of your career. Be prepared. Be prepared. Be prepared.
I could not agree more. So, Mark, you'd mentioned the study would be available to the listeners. Where can they get that study? Where do they need to go to download that?
Okay. If you want to just remember, U.S. Chiropractic Directory, uschiropracticdirectory.com, and the top toolbar is a research tab. Just tap on it. It's the first article. And we've got thousands of research articles in there. It's free. We don't put up a 100-pay firewall as so many others do. It's free. We don't advertise on it. We don't do anything. It's non-commercial. It's yours. Use it. Read it. You share it. Do whatever you want with it. As long as it's done with integrity and honesty, don't misquote it. Don't be inflammatory. Be respectful for the information. And again, it's not a referendum against physical therapists. That information came from the physical therapists. And that's why it was important. I didn't want to put this information out until I had a source directly outside of chiropractic from physical therapy. I'm getting emails from all over the country. How dare you? It's a chiropractic publication, chiropractic mumbo jumbo. This is, and I send them back. Please understand, I'm just a messenger. If you have a problem, please look at the source of the statistics. And I give them the reference and the credentials of the people who wrote the articles.
Got it.
So be respectful.
Yeah, I'm sure our producer will put those links for those that are watching the podcast in addition to listening to it. They'll be sure to get that those links to you to where you can reach out to Mark. So I always like to wrap this up with a little bit of fun, Mark. Here's a pop quiz. What's the worst job you ever had?
Being unemployed.
All right. What do you think you would be doing if you weren't doing what you're doing today?
If I wasn't doing this today, I would be on a bus, which I'm going to do sometime soon, with my 5 grandchildren visiting every baseball and football park in America.
That's awesome. And my last question, what talent do you have that most people don't know about?
I am not
the smartest. My friend.
Say again, please. What talent? Talent or character trait? Which one? Same thing.
We need both.
Okay.
We'll get a twofer.
I am by far not the smartest person you will ever meet in your life. By far. I am a lunch pill kind of guy, meat and potatoes, but I am without a doubt the most persistent person you will ever meet in your life. And I won't give up until I figure it out. If you're my friend, you'll love it. If you're not my friend, oh my God. You know, my friend, and my friends say, when I think I'm right, I'm obnoxious. When I know I'm right, I'm involved. So that to me is been the key to everything in my life. And, you know, it's what I do, but I also believe I'm going to finish it up. I'd like to finish up with one thing. This is not about making money. This is not about moving chiropractic. This is about ensuring that you're healthy. Your family is stable first. You have loving relationships. And you don't do any of this at the expense of your family. And having a stable practice allows you to do those things. But remember, you have to have those things first, second, and last. Stable, loving relationships.
Okay.
And all this stuff is ancillary. So don't get lost in it, because it'll cost you. You'll make all the money in the world, and it'll cost you the most important thing.
No doubt. No doubt about it. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us today, Mark. I always enjoy our time together. We crossed each other's paths probably some 25 years ago at this point. And thanks to everyone for listening to our Chirosphere podcast. If you would, please share the podcast with your friends and colleagues and let us know who you'd like to hear from in the future or any topic might interest you. We'll certainly do our best to get those on. And if you're interested in learning a little bit more about ChiroHealth USA and how we can help you develop a profitable discount strategy that'll help grow your practice, increase your income, and your profitability, give us a call at 888-719-9990 or see the information below to set up a short call to see how we can help. So thanks again, everyone, from the network that works for chiropractic and for you.